Welcome back, everybody. It's time again for to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center. With our guest this week, who had no idea she was going to be really live on anything here. She thought this was just some recording that might come out in 5 years or something here. Thanks to our host, who didn't tell her all about this, John Gutierrez.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our community podcast show, where our community is your community, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, John Gutierrez, Senior Vice President at the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We're very excited to have a special guest today. Our special guest is Deidre Pujos, who is the founder of Open Gate International and the Strikeout Slavery, also owner of Cocina Dominicana, mother of five incredible people, and winner of our Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the Hispanic Leadership Award. Welcome, Deidre Pujos.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited we're live.
Yes, and I'm so sorry that I thought every podcast show people knew it was live.
Oh,
you know?
No. It's okay. I like it. So the people can join us. And
so no pressure, right? No pressure.
No pressure.
So we'll get into all the stuff you're doing in the community, because there's so much you're doing, and we really appreciate all you're doing. But we want to learn first, always, of our guests, you know, who they are, you know, where they grew up, what are some of your family, hobbies. We want people to know the real you. Mm-hmm. Tell us about you.
Well, I grew up in Kansas City. Okay. And it was really fun to meet your organization here in OC, because I grew up with a grandfather who was a minority business owner in Kansas City.
Okay.
He had a lithography business back in the 80s and 90s. And he was also a part and a member of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. So I already was like connected in some unique way there to the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce family. But I grew up in Kansas City, pretty, you know, traditional upbringing, and was into sports as a kid and all that. And I have a pretty powerful testimony that I typically will share, but we're going to keep it light and happy. And okay. I mean, I grew up in Kansas City.
What kind of sports did you play?
Well, I was in soccer for years and years. Okay. And basketball, volleyball, okay, softball. When I was growing up, Atari was like the first thing to keep me busy.
Yes.
On.
Yes.
That was our electronics back in the day. Yes. And then yes, Nintendo. But kids went out and played. So that's, we were out playing
on
sports.
On the streets, right?
Yeah. Yes. And then, when I was 21, I met Albert, and he was still doing baseball back then. And then, so shortly after, I had a daughter at the time. I just had a daughter. And we moved to St. Louis, where he started with the Cardinals. And so from 22 on, you know, I was in St. Louis until we came here.
What's St. Louis like for many of us? I've never been there. What's St. Louis like?
Well, it's a Midwestern state. Very, very good place to raise your family.
Okay.
Really, to this day, they are the best fans in baseball.
Really?
Yeah, and very committed. And, you know, it's like homegrown, where sometimes you go to cities and they're like people from all over the world that live in that place. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good town. And
It's been a full circle, because he's back there now, right?
Yeah, he's back there now, finishing what will probably be his last year. And so that was a pretty cool storybook ending, I guess.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
So you had your daughter, and then, of course, you're with Albert. Mm-hmm. What is it like to, like, live that life of, you know, baseball and mm-hmm. traveling, and obviously being a mother raising your children? What's that like?
Well, I mean, it's been interesting. I have only one younger brother, so I was surprised I ended up with so many kids. But it just was what happened with us, you know, and it was right. But being in St. Louis, you know, you're really supported. My older daughter was born with Down syndrome. She's 24 now. But St. Louis was, from the time we got there to, like, even now, in our organization that's there, Pujols Family Foundation, the community is so supportive of people with disabilities and stuff. So it was a great place to be to have a child with disabilities. You know, and then we had our son, AJ, who had got to experience a ton of Albert's success when he was really, like...
AJ is a great golf player.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Shout out to AJ if he's listening, right?
Yeah.
I've seen him hit that ball, man.
AJ plays golf for Vanguard College right now, and he's so good. And so he didn't take up baseball, he took up golf.
Yes.
I have Sophia, she's 16, she's a gymnast.
I saw that, that's right.
We're hoping she...
That's a hard sport, gymnastics.
Oh, no, it's like the hardest sport.
Yes.
And it's taking a toll, you know, on you physically because it's so demanding. But she's doing awesome and hoping to send her off to college in a couple of years.
Nice.
But then we have Ezra, who's 12. He's my basketball guy. And
oh,
Esther,
okay.
who's 9. And she is like Queen Esther, and she runs the place, so... Those are the incredible.
There's always
in my
one
life.
Like that, right? That just
yeah.
rent the house.
My dad calls them my payback kids.
Your payback kids. But, well, that's being a mother of five. That's a lot of work. I mean, what's that like for you as a mom? What do you strive for? If for mothers out there listening,
yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of work. I know I have two boys with my wife, and it's. I mean, two is a lot. Five is wow.
Well, first, let me give a shout out to my nanny, who's been committed to our family.
Shout out to the nanny and all the nannies
Patrice.
Out there.
Patrice,
yes,
Patrice has been committed to our family for our whole journey, pretty much of baseball, and
that's great.
And that's been a huge support. And then, of course, I have a very supportive family, so they were there to help us because there's obviously a lot of traveling. Albert was gone more than he was home, so that left me in charge, and so I'm kind of commander-in-chief. And then he comes home, and we fit him in, and, you know, that whole thing. But the five-kid thing, my kids are spread out, so I have 24 to 9.
Yes.
And
you must
I've been able
with
to
so
navigate.
Many different personalities, right? Because of ages,
are.
Right?
They're all different. But but it's cool to watch everybody on their own journey and kind of find their purpose, why they were sent here and why they were given to me and how I'm supposed to steward them as a mom and all that. But honestly, you know, what's been the coolest part of the journey is that when I started out, you know, I had my daughter alone, my oldest daughter, and so I was a single mom for a while. You know, I was having to really get my feet on the ground with no education and no support. I was on government assistance, you know, and really just trying to do my journey and trusting God. You know, I really grounded in my faith during that time I was pregnant with her because, you know, I just felt like it was such a big situation I was going to have to navigate through. So when I now this far out in my life, when I meet young single moms or moms who are divorced and have multiple kids, like I'm really able to kind of just connect in a unique way to know what their journey feels
you know
like.
What it's like, right?
Yeah, and so you know, I was born to two teenage parents, so my journey in the beginning was challenging as well. Even when I had no control of all that, obviously as a baby, but there's a lot from my history that I can use now as kind of this encourager in my space, you know, when somebody comes to me with a situation. I've gone through a lot of it. So that's what's been cool about it.
I got to tell you, when you came to our Hispanic Heritage Month awards that we had, and of course we gave you and your husband and the foundations this award, and I heard your story that day, I was moved.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there with my wife, and I'm like, wow, I get it. He's Albert Pujols. He's the famous baseball player, the Hall of Famer. But when I heard you speak that day, I was like, wow, like your journey has been tough.
Yeah.
And so for you now to be doing the same, I see what you're doing in the community. Share with people in the community, of course, about the foundations and what you're doing, because you're doing some amazing work.
Well, I really feel that everybody, for me, my foundation is my faith and then learning from that, my wisdom. You know, I want it to be a strong spiritual wisdom, like a biblical foundation for me, how I live my life and how I treat people. And it doesn't mean you get it perfect and right because we're human. But I think what we've been able to do with the organizations is obviously we have Pujols Family Foundation, which supports people with Down syndrome. And then we also do work in the Dominican Republic where Albert's from. So we've been doing that since 2005. But naturally, I feel like my purpose and my mission is really a philanthropic. It's a humanitarian. It's a winning people's souls back to a healthy and wholesome place rather than just watch people kind of blow with the wind. And I always try to teach people, you know, you better know what you stand for. Or you're going to fall for anything. That is like my mission, to draft people into, like, you have a purpose, you know, making them believe. A lot of that comes from just things I either put myself through or things I went through. But Open Gate International really came out of that same spirit, which is I was starting to travel around in 2016, and you know some people have heard this story already, but traveling around to try to understand the issues of human trafficking at that time, back in 2016. And so I got connected with some really incredible organizations and learned as much as I could until I had to come back and decide what in the world was I going to do with all of the things I'd just seen and heard and learned about. Because I couldn't have just done nothing. And so that's when I started to kind of just sit down with my pencil and paper and go, okay, well, what about me could contribute to this issue to make it better? And there was a couple of platforms. One, I created Open Gate International out of a passion for culinary arts and mm-hmm. business. Mm-hmm. And so we started the culinary school. We had the intention of creating it for survivors of human trafficking.
Yes.
But networking in OC, we found out quickly that there were a lot of organizations that needed help with job reintegration and the workforce in general, just proper training and getting people jobs, from the homeless population, foster care youth, trafficked wow. victims, you know,
so you
veterans.
Get people from all different lives.
All backgrounds.
Different.
Yeah, all different organizations and things we started networking with, and we said, well, wow, there's a lot of people here who need the same type of help. So we opened our doors in January 2017. We've went through, you know, talked to hundreds of people throughout our county and community, and we're able to put a lot of people in jobs. COVID, obviously, as everybody else,
yes.
kind of, you know, threw a little dart at us a bit, but we were able to navigate. And so just, you know, long story short, we're currently in the Orange County Juvenile Hall working with young men who are either working their journey out of incarceration to get back into community, or some who are serving a little bit longer times, just really helping them stay encouraged and trained and keep their spirits up, I guess, if you will. But all of these young men have an opportunity to reintegrate into our community. So the best thing that we can contribute is to help train them and give them an opportunity to get back into community with work. And so we created Cocina Dominicana with the full circle idea that we would hire them, or we'll help network them into the food industry if that's what they want. And so that's what happened out of Open Gate International.
Which, by the way, you all were at a celebrity golf tournament recently that we mm-hmm. were all at, the mm-hmm. Hispanic 100 Foundation, which are partners with us at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And I got to say, the food, the empanadas, everything you guys had was amazing, delicious. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, it was so nice to see these young men mm-hmm. that were there. When the pictures they were taking mm-hmm. with you, with the celebrities, what was the feedback you got from them? What was the reaction from these young men?
Well, that kind of experience is this is the whole reason. Like, I want to bring them into our space. You know, I want them to experience. None of them had ever been on a golf course before. You know, none of them knew anything about golf etiquette or anything like that. None of them have been around those kind of celebrities before, and so those kind of opportunities are ones that I know can hopefully broaden their minds a little bit than to think that their four corners of their block are their only neighborhood. And so that was an awesome experience for them. And there were actually some really cool relationships that were started because of that. Matter of fact, the other day I posted on my Instagram that one of the young men, he didn't happen to be there that day, but because I met somebody at that golf tournament who owns business, I was able to network and put one of our young fellas into a really cool job.
Nice.
So, you know, it's just that kind of thing, like being a networker and getting people out into community. So
building that bridge, mm-hmm. right? Building that bridge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to tell you, when I went over there to get some food, they were so nice.
Yeah.
They're like, here, take some of this, try this.
Yeah.
Oh, this sauce was
yeah.
really good, you know? You should try this one. And of course, you know, I wasn't sure if I was allowed to give them a tip or not, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, is it okay? And you're like, well, I never thought about putting a tip jar. And I'm like, you know, to some, it doesn't matter, but to some of these young guys might be like, yeah. it might motivate them, right? To be
yeah.
like, this is kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
But they're very, very respectful,
yeah.
good young man. And it was dear to my heart because I grew up in Santa Ana.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up around friends like that unfortunately made some of the bad
mm-hmm.
decisions,
mistakes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so nice to see that you're giving these young men a second chance
mm-hmm.
and hopefully better skills, right?
Yeah.
So when people come to your school, the foundation, how long is the course? How does that work?
So we originally had built a 12-week course. It was like 12 hours a week.
Okay.
And then we would try to equip them with all the skills that they would need to enter in like a basic position in a kitchen. The reason we didn't do it longer is because most of the people who were coming to our program, like, either they had a side job or they needed to hurry up and get in
yeah.
and employed so they could get paychecks. So
yeah.
we didn't want to keep them in like a year-long program or something because
yeah.
they don't have that kind of resources and they don't have that time.
Exactly.
And it was a costly program and it was free for them. So we had to navigate with the resources that we had, but it was quite successful. We made really good relationships. And matter of fact, after COVID, there were I mean, our phone was blowing up because people wanted to know if we had anybody who was looking for work, because yes. they knew that they could find like quality people in our
That's right. Right. Because a lot of the restaurants were needing people like mm-hmm. that after the pandemic.
But what's cool is like now that we went into the juvenile hall, we're able to still give the young men certificates, you know, an accredited certificate that's has value to them when they go get a job. They can show the employers that, like, hey, I've gone through this course. I've learned some basic skills in kitchen, and just be able to use it as another resource.
Well, it's great that you also offer it free to them, right? Mm-hmm. Through your foundation, mm-hmm. because maybe they couldn't afford to go get this done somewhere else,
right?
Right. So the fact that you're offering them that platform mm-hmm. is amazing. So tell us a little bit about the restaurant that you're opening up. I know you're still working on all that, but yeah. I know it's at the District in Tustin, yeah. right?
We have a restaurant, Cocina Dominicana, where several of the young men I've hired there to work, and we trained them, and we started, and we had some complications with one of the we have a little bit of issue with one of the fire marshal, you know, like they have to pass an inspection, yeah. So we're fixing that as we speak, literally right now. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll be up and running. But what was cool about the restaurant is I knew that I wanted to keep them working. You know, I didn't want them to just not have anything to do during the yes. during the week. And so for a short period of time, we were actually making big batches of food to donate to yes. The low-income families in, yes. in Santa Ana. And so...
Really? In Santa Ana?
Yeah.
So, my hometown.
Yeah. And wow. and with Bruno from the White House.
Yes, Chef Bruno.
Yeah.
Yes,
he
donates well.
Food every day. So
yes.
we were working with him and just sending food to them to donate. But it was just one of those moments where I was looking at a couple of boys and they were prepping some empanadas. And I'm like, you know, we're making food. Like, you're actually contributing and giving back to community now instead yes. of taking from community. And so it was a really cool moment for me just to go,
mindset.
This is so what it's about. You
the
know,
different
taking
mindset.
Somebody. But the other thing, too, is the young men and the young people that we work with is, you know, helping them to see that they're not what they've done. You know, they are somebody with a purpose and with a mission here on earth, and to not be shameful based on behavior, but like to have new belief systems so they'll start to live better. And that's what I feel like is going to happen from either if I meet them incarcerated or if I meet them on the streets and they work for me. Like, my mission is always the same with them. It's to change the belief system.
Well, to that point, I remember you sharing a story with me over the phone that when I gave the young men the tip.
Oh, yeah.
That later they came to you.
Yeah, that was so cool.
If you can share that.
Yeah,
that was
so
really
John,
cool.
So John came and he's like, can I tip these, you know, everybody? And I'm like, yeah. Oh, wow, okay. Well, yeah, sure. Like, I wanted them
and
to
see
that.
And it wasn't much. It was only like $40.
Yeah, but you know? It was a gesture.
I thought they could buy like a snack or In-N-Out or something on the way home, you know?
They got full at the golf tournament, but yeah. but what was really sweet is we had the after party,
yes.
and the band was playing and everything, and when we were all leaving, one of the young men said, hey, I totally forgot about the tip, actually, and then he's like, hey, what? I have the $40, and he pulls it out, he's like, can we give it to Emily for gas money to get home? So, yes. like, he was thinking about one of the young ladies that works for us, about
her. She, like, carpooled them, or something?
Yeah, she brought everybody,
yes.
and I was like, absolutely, like, give her the money for gas. So, you know, with gas prices nowadays. But
yes,
it was such a precious gesture that yes. They could have all split the money up and gone done whatever. But the fact that he did that said so much about, you know, his character.
Yeah, it definitely goes to show where their heart is, mm-hmm. right? And the blessing they're doing for somebody mm-hmm. else. And it's that domino effect, right? And I know that when you told me that story, I was like, wow, that's powerful.
That's cool.
You know, because they are good people. They're mm-hmm. they're good kids, and it just could be how they were raised around mm-hmm. the environment, right? That whatever reason they ended up where they did.
Yeah.
And so what is the future of, let's say, the restaurant, the foundation? What is your goal? Like, for people out there listening, you know, if they want to donate, support, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, what is the future? What are some of the goals?
Well, I really think that Open Gate International is starting to shift towards, like, really helping the reentry population, individuals who are coming out of incarceration, and trying to help them reintegrate into society in a positive way so that they can contribute and be positive members of our community. And so I'm learning about that whole system right now and trying to find the best way, just like I did with human trafficking and that kind of thing, like really trying to find the best way to navigate and help in that space. And so we're, you know, for this year, we're committed to the juveniles in Orange County and juvenile hall and training them because they are going to get out. And, you know, there's been a couple of people who have kind of like told me about, well, you know, the incarcerated, that whole population, that whole industry, like, doesn't get a lot of support or whatever. And I'm just like, well, we just have to make people understand that these are young people who are going to get out and they are going to re-enter into society. And if we want to help try to break cycles that people have been born into, oftentimes not at their fault, then we have to be contributing members of, especially the ones who have made it up and have leadership or have some kind of influence in community. We are responsible for them.
It's like a mentorship.
It is mentorship, and right? It is trying to help them, again, change their belief systems to know something bigger than what they've been born into. And so our Open Gate International's goal is to really just continue to train those young men, help them before they get out so they're not stuck trying to figure it out on the outside. But the other thing that I really want to address is with the adult population coming out of incarceration, in particular the male population, because I feel like our males are depleting. I feel like the models in some situations, the male model is just dwindling down, you know, and that young men don't have strong, positive male role models to look up to. And we need that. They're fathers and they're leaders and they're protectors and providers. And so being able to give young men an opportunity to learn that. But the thing that's most important to me is to help them get into careers, into jobs. And so
he's giving me the 5-minute look already.
Okay, that's okay. But that's, you know, that's my goal, is to really help just be a supportive member and community who can try to help in the ways that I have access to. This is where we are right now in supporting this community in particular.
So first and foremost, thank you so much for all you're doing in the community. I wish we had like a 2-hour show. I know this has gone by so fast. And I want to end it with, I know you have a love for cars. I love the Porsche you just pulled up. But I also know that you do, you know, drives for causes. Uh-huh. And what is that? Because I know we're in the middle of talking about doing one for our Cancer Foundation.
Sure.
And what is that about? Because that's really cool.
We talked about that, me and you. So I'm part of the exotic car, you know, just world in general. We all get together. They do rallies. Sometimes it's for the day. Sometimes it's over the weekends. And you just get your cars out and you ride together and do some really cool things. But
which is your passion. You enjoy it,
right?
Yeah,
it's like a hobby.
It's a hobby,
but
yes.
I always like to try to take whatever I'm doing and turn it into a give back opportunity. And
yes.
So we've done fundraisers.
Yes.
Most of these car these car groups will do, like, you know, Christmas giveaways and different
things.
The toy
drive, I saw
that,
right?
Drives, yeah. Supporting our youth, different types of things. But yeah, you and I talked about collaborating, so we'll maybe
turn
that
into something. We're excited. We got to talk about that, but I got to tell you, I've seen some of the videos and I've been to a couple of them.
Oh, yeah.
For the toy drives that you all did. Mm-hmm. And it's not only just the cars, but I think it's great. The people that are driving the cars, they're all so nice,
yeah.
Very humble,
mm-hmm.
but they're all very successful
mm-hmm.
entrepreneurs, business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about it, that everybody's just really, I know Mikey Garcia's out there, mm-hmm. you know, champion in boxing,
mm-hmm.
different people. And so, again, that is so awesome. Thank you so much for being here. I wish we had more time.
No, that's okay.
You know,
that's okay.
I know that it's gone by so fast. I just got to make a few closing announcements. Definitely, if you want to join our chamber, you can go to our social media at OCHCC.org or our Instagram at OCHCC. You can, for people out there, we also have a job board at our chamber. So we're helping people find jobs or businesses post jobs.
Yeah.
And so we also have that at our Hispanic Chamber of Commerce website. And we do have our golf tournament coming up on August 31st. For those of you out there listening. And again, I want to thank our special guest, superstar, community leader, Deidre Pujols. I know you don't like me saying all those things, but you really are a Wonder Woman for all you do. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you. Any last words?
Oh, just live your best life every day. You're living your dash. Look out for that show coming soon. Live your dash, you
live
know?
Live your dash.
Live your dash and be full of passion and bless others when you don't feel well. That will really change your spirits too.
Thank you for being here at our community podcast show for the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, where our community is your community. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Well, there you have it. Another great example of why you got to tune in each and every week to meet our community. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center. And powered by the powerful Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Tune in, and we'll celebrate more.